This is WHTC in Holland. Time now for Talk of the Town, the program in which you, the listeners, participate with your telephone calls. Our Talk of the Town number is 395-1450. This morning we're going to visit with the folks from Right to Life, and we have Pat, who is the Vice President, and Dr. David Peterson. Well, good morning to both of you.
Good morning.
And we have a lot to talk about this morning, and first of all, it's the things that are going on today in...
Yes.
I'm not sure we celebrate, but we observe.
Yes, correct. We observe. It's a memorial to the unborn children who have been lost over 40 years. Millions of lives have been lost. And we're going to have a service tonight, a march, actually, that will start at the corner of Centennial and at Centennial Park at the corner of Central and 10th. And it's going to begin at 7 o'clock tonight. And following that, there'll be a memorial service for the unborn children at the Central Avenue Christian Reformed Church. And we'd like to urge people to come out for that and encourage others to come out. The memorial service is going to feature Paul Miller, chairman of Right to Life of the Michigan State Board. And he's going to be speaking on quitting is not an option. So there will also be a special children's message to help the children to understand how precious their lives are and the life of everyone, from the very earliest unborn child to the most elderly person.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, I hope it doesn't get too cold for you out there.
Actually, last year was extremely cold. We were so surprised. We talked about possibly canceling it, but every year the people still come out because the people feel so strongly that life is a God-given gift, and we need to protect it.
When people come out despite the cold, you know they're dedicated.
That's for sure. And it's a blessing always when you come. You know, every year you think, oh, you go out in the cold, and you know, it's the walk is very short that we take, and then you end up inside the church,
yeah,
and this wonderful service just celebrating life and respecting life is very precious. And then also on a Tuesday night, January 28th, we're going to have a fundraiser by Russ's Restaurant. And 25% of your total bill will be going to support Holland Area Right to Life. So we'd like to thank Holland at the Easttown location is where that's going to be taken. We really appreciate that Russ's is doing this for us, but you must have a coupon when you go in there so that we will get 25%.
Okay.
And you can download that coupon at rtlofholland.org, and it would be very helpful to us if you could support us and Russ's that way.
Mm-hmm.
It's a nice way to thank Russ's even for what they're doing for our...
Right, kids. Right. Doctor, you've been with the organization quite a long time now.
Yes, I think since the early 90s, not exactly sure how many years. And one of the real exciting things that we've done lately has to do with the Abortion Insurance Opt-Out Act. There wasn't a lot of publicity on this the last several months, but it's been quite exciting with our organization. First of all, I'd like to thank our Michigan State legislators, anyone who signed the petitions for this act, and those, of course, who did the petitioning and publicizing. What this is you know, in the Obamacare health system, there are five or six different ways whereby our tax dollars provide for abortions.
Right.
Even though the president promised pro-life Democrats before it was passed that there would not be tax-funded abortions. Still, as it turned out, there were tax-funded abortions provided for. But there was also a provision in there that said that states could opt out of that as an automatic covered benefit.
Mm-hmm.
And so what we wanted to do was join 23 previous states which opted out of having this automatic abortion coverage, so that if you want abortion coverage in your health care, you can buy a separate rider and have that. We also opted out of the automatic abortion coverage for private insurance. So That way, we felt like our premiums are not paying for someone else's
right.
abortion, and our tax dollars then are not going for someone else's abortion. And we feel like abortion is not health care. It shouldn't even be part of Obamacare, but it is, because it destroys the life of a unique, living, individual human being. Abortion is actually the opposite of health care because it destroys the newly formed life and often damages the mother. So there's also a transparency clause whereby anyone who has the health insurance that has the automatic coverage for abortion must be notified about that automatic coverage. Well, it passed in the Michigan House by 62-47, and it passed in the Senate by 27-11.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what the petition did was to, it's a constitutional thing built into to Michigan's constitution, that if enough petitioners sign this act, then it is voted on by both houses. The wording cannot be changed by the houses, and the governor cannot veto it.
Oh.
The governor did veto essentially the same legislation last year because he felt like...
Now, this is veto-proof.
Yes, and it has been passed. In mm-hmm. last month, it was passed.
It will take effect in March, actually.
Yes.
I see.
Mm-hmm. So we're excited about that because it shows that we can get things done at a grassroots level when we keep the sanctity of human life as our goal.
Would this be a model for other states?
Yes, there are other states that are looking at this too. Of course, it's not going to happen in every state.
Right.
There are states that absolutely there's no chance this kind of thing will happen. But in a lot of states, it's happening. We're the 24th state now to do that.
And Texas is quite active also on this.
Yes.
Field,
I'm not sure
they?
If Texas is one of those or not. But there's also a lot of things that we've done in the past year. And Pat has a list of those that she'd like to go over,
all
too.
All right. Good.
Yeah, actually, Juke, in January, Time magazine took notice of our pro-life successes since 1973 with a cover story. Time magazine's cover story read, 40 years ago, abortion rights activists won an epic victory with Roe v. Wade, and they've been losing ever since. And I believe that's because of all the legislative work we've been working
yeah.
on and things we've gotten passed. NARAL, just recently you may have seen in the paper, has given Michigan an F rating concerning abortion rights. And we can be very proud of that because that means that we're doing our job, that we're getting these pro-life laws passed. Women are being protected. Babies are being saved. Life is precious. People are learning, you know, how precious life is in Michigan. The latest CDC reported there was a 3.1% drop in abortions. And the latest 2012 records show that there was a 0.59% drop again in abortions. So there were still like approximately like 22,000, a little more than that, I believe, in Michigan in 2012. And I know a little over 500 of those were repeat abortions.
And let me interrupt you there. We got a call coming in.
Okay.
Good morning. You're online with our guests.
Yeah, hi. That petition drive that forced... this to be reviewed by the legislators. You know, I signed petitions. I even went out and got signatures. But we can blame all that work on the great Governor Snyder because he vetoed that thing. And, you know, if he wouldn't have vetoed it, it would have went through or would have been okay before the Right to Life would have gotten these 300 or 200 some thousand signatures. So we can thank Governor Snyder, the king himself.
Okay. Thank you. All right. I guess he has some strong feelings on that.
Yeah.
All right. And go on, Pat.
Another thing is we're very thankful that the number of abortions on teenagers has dropped significantly, and we're very happy about that. You can remember there was a trial with a doctor. I hesitate to call him a doctor. He was an abortionist called Kermit Cosnell. He drew attention this past year with his cruelty of late-term abortions. And the abuses in the abortion industry were greatly exposed at that point. So pro-life people have worked across this country tirelessly to pass pro-life bills, including the landmark legislation of the to protect unborn babies capable of feeling pain. And Dr. Peterson talks about that. Five abortion businesses have closed again in 2013. Another very good thing. We have noticed this Omni bill that we passed recently, omnibus bill we call it, actually regulated abortion clinics because many of them did not have regulation. None of them had regulations, and the conditions in these clinics were horrible. You may have seen some of them on the news when a couple of the clinics have closed. So we continue to work. There's much work to be done. Anytime there's lives lost, we have to continue to work.
I think that's the amazing part, is that we have this dedicated group of people who continue to work at it, like you two, and I know the doctor has been doing it for many years, and there are other people, of course, in your organization that have been working at it for a long, long time, and they feel very strongly about it.
Right. We have church reps that come to our meetings, and that's how I started out. And actually, my mother got me started as a church rep because she was a church rep. And she has since passed away. And I was just telling my church this year that when she died, a man from her church came to meet to her viewing, and he says, "Pat, may I put this precious feet pin on her dress?" And the precious feet pin represents the feet of an unborn child at 10 weeks gestation. And he said, "Your mother always stood for life. She left such a life legacy." And she did, and I'm very proud of that.
Yeah, yeah. And she apparently instilled it in you as well.
That's right. Yeah, so I've been involved for many, many years.
Very good, very good. All right, did we mention who the speaker will be this evening?
Yes, Pat did.
Okay. Yes, Paul
you can
Miller.
Repeat that if you
Paul
want.
Paul Miller, the chairman of Right to Life of the Michigan State Board.
And okay.
And his topic is going to be quitting is not an option.
And you aren't quitting.
We are not. We are here.
What a dedicated group.
Yeah. And it's wonderful people, you know. I mean, how can anybody be bad who loves people?
Yeah, yeah. But yet we see the other side constantly, well, I guess now direct from Washington right on down, seems to be fighting opposed to you.
Mm-hmm, yeah. It's darkness, you know, and I always feel like we're light in the darkness.
Yeah.
In this awfulness of abortion. We're not helping women with abortion.
Right, right. Now, what's the progress that we've made, Doctor, so far?
Well, one of the exciting things that we mentioned earlier was this Pain-Capable Unborn Child Protection Act.
Yeah.
The progress has been through the Internet a lot because you can't keep a secret. They used to be able to keep the secrets of life before birth because there was no Internet there, and people didn't read many books about embryology.
Right.
But when you study embryology, you see when the nerves develop in the growing new human being that's created. And so people have known intuitively for millennia, I suppose, that the unborn child can feel pain. Abortionists have known that. But one abortionist was quoted, probably not the exact words, but he said that the pain of the unborn child doesn't matter. The only thing that matters is the will of the mother.
Mm.
Well, now that science has definitely documented when the preborn can feel pain, a number of states have taken up this issue, and generally it's been called the Pain-Capable Unborn Child Protection Act. It has been enacted in Nebraska, Kansas, Idaho, Oklahoma, Alabama, Georgia, Louisiana, Arkansas, North Dakota, and Texas.
Let me interrupt you there. I've got a call on the line.
Okay.
Yes, you're on the line with our guests.
Yes, I'd like to say that my daughter had an abortion, and they told her it was a blob of tissue the abortion clinics are nothing but lies. Mm-hmm. They just said it was a blob of tissue, and it was a baby. You know, my daughter regrets it to this day. So keep up the good work, okay?
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good testimony there.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, the act that I was talking about, having to do with pain, reads such that if the preborn is 20 weeks gestation, which would be 22 weeks after the pregnancy,
right,
because they count it 2 weeks before fertilization, then an abortion cannot be done because of the pain
mm-hmm.
factor. And so I named the states where this has been going on, and I don't know if I mentioned Idaho and Georgia are currently pending with this litigation. This has been brought up at a federal level, too. Our United States House of Representatives has passed this law by a good majority. However, as you might expect, it's pending in the Senate. We don't know, but my suspicions are that Harry Reid will do everything possible not to let this get out for a vote in the United States Senate. Polls have been done. In March of last year, a nationwide poll of over 1,000 people showed that about 64% of people would support a law banning abortions after the 20th week of gestation. 30% opposed something like that. And I suppose they have the same mindset as the abortionists, that the pain does not matter. Interestingly, 63% of independent voters supported these types of laws. So we have, once again, you know, the will of the people, which might be ignored by our leaders.
Frequently is.
But we're hopeful that with more education, which is largely through the Internet, that people can see the value of life before birth. It's been said that if there were a window in the uterus, there wouldn't be a question about abortion. It would just not be done.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, now with today's sonograms, it seems to me they do have sort of a window.
That is sort of a window, but not everybody sees those images.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. I got to take time out here for some weather. And the weather is brought to you by the Wooden Shoe Restaurant. Enter your business card to win a Wooden Shoe catering. And the weather is, well, you probably won't like it. Snow showers of up to an inch possible today. Steady to slowly falling temperatures. And tonight we have snow showers of up to 3 inches possible, a low of 8. And tomorrow a trace of snow showers possible with a high of 12. And on Wednesday it'll go up to 14 possibly. So you can see it's cold weather ahead of us, and right now we're looking at 24 degrees here in the Tulip City, but it is headed down to about 8 tonight. All right. We're talking about the right to life this morning, and if you have a question or comment, you may call us at 395-1450. Our line is open for you, and maybe some of you would like to have something discussed that we haven't discussed yet. If so, give us a call. All right. We have Pat and Dr. Dave with us this morning, and they help us out every, well, we have a good rapport, I think, with the Right to Life organization, don't we, Doctor?
Yes, we sure have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I almost reserve this date every year so that we can have the Right to Life on.
Yes, and if no one has officially thanked you, I think we have, but I'd like to thank you again.
Yeah. Thank you.
For having us on your program. I don't know how many years it's been going on, but it's been a number.
Yeah, it has been. It has been.
Mm-hmm.
And you can never get out the word enough, Juke. You know, there's so many people who still do not understand that abortion is legal for all 9 months of that pregnancy. It's horrific. Abby Johnson spoke at our dinner this year, and she used to work at Planned Parenthood. And she thought she was helping women. But one day she was asked to assist in an abortion, and the screen was turned that the doctor watches. And she witnessed the child pulling away in pain as the abortion procedure was going on. And she could not believe that baby was pulling away from the abortionist
right.
and wanted to not to happen, you know, wanted this not to happen. And she since has quit working for Planned Parenthood and has started a ministry to help other women get out of the Planned Parenthood Federation.
And I have another call here. Yes, you're online with our guests.
Hi, good morning. I'm with you. I'd love to never see another abortion happen again. But I just have one question about right to life, and that is, why isn't there a contraception format or idea involved with right to life? It seems contraception and right to life would go hand in hand. And I'll take my answer off the air.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We have subjects that we address in Right to Life. We don't try to address the whole gamut of reproductive issues. And we, more or less, you might say, stay out of the issue about contraception,
mm-hmm.
except for the fact that we are against any method of contraception that destroys a newly formed human life. Any method which prevents the formation of a brand new human life, we have no problem with. We just don't want to see human life destroyed.
Right.
Whether it's for an alleged utilitarian purpose, such as the embryonic stem cell issue, or whether it's because of late-term abortion, because the mother has decided that she can't afford the baby. So those are the two extremes of the abortion business. But we have those issues that we focus on and some that we don't.
Yeah. Okay. All right. What's going to be the next movement that we can look for from the Right to Life organizations around the country?
Well, there are so many issues that we have already been addressing and we continue to need to address. Pat mentioned earlier...
Let me interrupt you for this mm-hmm. call. Good morning. You're online with our guests.
Yes, I want to get their opinion on... to me, it seems like the issue is you're either pro-life or pro-death. I want to get their opinion about pro-choice. Do they think that's very much a political terminology? To me, that's what it seems like. And I'll just hang up and listen to their... to their answers, and I thank you very much.
Well, I guess I'll answer that. Pat and I were looking at each other. the term pro-choice is really a deceptive term. In the last few decades, the so-called choicers have fought everything we've tried to do to educate women about this choice. For instance, we have tried to have... information available to women considering abortions. Well, of course, they didn't want that information in their clinics, information about what the child looks like at that particular stage of development, information about the possible complications of abortion. Of course, the media goes right along with keeping this information from women. You don't hear anything about it, but there are a lot of complications from abortion that have happened, where the uterus is perforated, excess bleeding, infection can lead to death and has led to death after an abortion, retained parts of the fetus that don't come out and cause excess bleeding.
It's a dangerous medical procedure.
Well, it has been dangerous for a lot of women, yes, and has cost women their lives at times. There are long-term complications that we want to educate people about. For instance, there are increased numbers of miscarriages in subsequent pregnancies after an abortion. There are increased incidences of sterility in women who've had abortions. There is now shown to be a link between abortion and breast cancer. And that's something that the Planned Parenthood people and the media especially don't want women to know, because breast cancer is so much in the news. There are various studies, some of them from Britain, which show that there's anywhere from a 22 to 80% increase in incidence of breast cancer after a woman has had an abortion. Of course, studies vary because they have a different category of women in the studies, possibly. And they all show, however, that there is an increased incidence of breast cancer after having an abortion.
Mm-hmm.
But the reason for that is that the hormonal cycle that pregnancy sets up is interrupted in a very unnatural, sudden way. And so when the cells in the breast start to mature and develop, even pre-malignancy cells start to mature and develop at a faster rate during pregnancy. Well, if the normal hormonal cycle happens, then those cells will develop into milk-producing cells, and they don't become cancer, usually. Of course, you know, women do get cancer for some unknown, sometimes unknown reasons. But if the pregnancy is interrupted and the hormonal cycle is suddenly halted, then those cells that have been stimulated to grow can include precancerous cells, mm-hmm. which can go on and develop into cancer.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of education that we need to do.
Yeah, yeah, you see that. All right. What about abortion? I should say adoption. Let's talk about adoption a little bit. You, Pat, you can tell us about that, your experience.
Yeah, Duke mentioned this a little bit before we came in here today, and I was telling him, I'm very strongly for adoption, because I have three adopted grandchildren, and they have been such a blessing
mm-hmm.
to us. And I know there's lots of families out there looking for babies to adopt here in the United States. There's not as many children available to adopt, you know, new babies. And a lot of that is because of abortion.
Right, right.
Mm-hmm.
We only have about a minute left. Let's repeat once again about tonight's meeting, okay?
Okay. Yes, we're going to start tonight at 7 o'clock at Centennial Park, which is the corner of Central Avenue and
dress 10th, warm.
10th Street. Yes, dress very warm. We go for a short walk around a couple blocks in the city. And after that, there's going to be a short memorial service for the unborn children at Central Avenue Christian Reformed Church. They graciously opened their doors for us, and Paul Miller, the chairman of Right to Life of the Michigan State Board, will be speaking on quitting is not an option.
And it's free to all. Come
absolutely.
On out. Come on out.
Absolutely. And it's a wonderful way for you to show to other people in the community how precious life is to you.
Yes, indeed. Well, we thank you both very much for coming in this morning and talking to us.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.